The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If you care about inflation, then pass the Build Back Better Act. That's what's in the Build Back Better Act, and it's why, if you care about inflation, pass the Build Back Better Act.
Joining me now is Washington Post opinion columnist Catherine Rempel, an economic expert.
My general view about all of this is that the media, Republicans, and now the White House are laboring under the collective delusion that the president can do something about prices, that the president controls prices.
If we want to help families lower costs, the best thing we can do is pass Build Back Better.
The Build Back Better legislation, that, you know, the sort of safety net climate bill, probably will not have a huge effect on inflation either way.
Why should Americans not be concerned that injecting another $1.75 trillion or more would further raise inflation?
Because no economist out there is projecting that this will have a negative impact on inflation. And the Build Back Better agenda will help reduce inflation, will help cut costs for the American people.
It's largely irrelevant. We can talk about that bill on its own merits and not try to sort of co-opt it into this broader political fight over inflation.
And the dirty little secret here, Willie, while nobody likes to pay more, on average, we have the money to do so.
Yeah, right. Inflation's no big deal, say the rich and powerful. We have the money. She has the money. She makes $2 million a year. Of course it's easier for her to adjust to the skyrocketing inflation. If they're not saying inflation's good, it's a good sign. They're saying, well, hey, if you want to reduce it, let's just spend trillions and trillions of dollars. That'll take care of everything. Build Back Better is going to make things much, much worse if it ever does become law. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience on this good, what is this, Thursday? Beautiful day outside, beautiful autumn day here in Edmond, Oklahoma. We broadcast live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. We broadcast live through our partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, the third channel, Channel 3 on that platform. And of course, you can get to the live stream, the live video stream of this show on our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. So Joe Biden's approval rating, it's now at 36%. How much lower can it go? We haven't been able to play this clip from Stephanopoulos, George Stephanopoulos. I think this was from over the weekend where it was in the high 30s. Notice clip 8.
We're coming on the air this morning with a brand new poll, and it's brutal for President Biden. His approval rating has hit a new low. Only 41% of Americans think he's doing a good job in office. 53% disapprove. 70% believe the economy is in bad shape. And with inflation at a three-decade high, only 39% approve of Biden's handling of the economy.
So that was from a few days ago. And then just this morning, Quinnipiac, or however you pronounce that poll, that poll that comes out, it's lowest. It says it was Biden's lowest numbers in that particular survey. And this after just 9, 10 months. I thought this was interesting from the Fox News website. It's about a mayoral race. We know about what happened in Virginia. The communists were able to successfully steal New Jersey, but they couldn't pull it off in Virginia. And maybe that was the head fake that they needed to just get people off the trail of all of the cheating and stealing that goes on just as a matter of routine. But this was a report out of Columbia, South Carolina, a mayoral race. And the Republican there, he won the race 52% to 48. Columbia, South Carolina is a deep, dark blue big city, which most big cities are. But here's this Republican winning a race in a region or a county that was carried by Biden by almost 40 points. And now, just like in Virginia, a Republican mayor shocking the world, or at least shocking South Carolina. Fox News is probably the only news outlet that's interested in even carrying the story. But it says here, Barack Obama, according to the Washington Free Beacon, released an audio message in support of Devine, the Democrat. The former president carried the city's county by 29 points in 2008 and 33 points in 2012. And Joe Biden, the most popular president in history, carried it by 40 points. 40. How much cheating goes on, and how many states, how many cities, how many counties are involved in it every year? You know, Sam brought up a good point this morning. There are those that think, okay, the Democrats know they're going to get crushed next year in the midterm elections. They know they're going to get crushed probably in 2024. But do they really? Do they know they're going to get crushed? Look at what they were able to pull off. They have the world believing that Joe Biden got 81 million votes last year. 81 million. I showed you that clip yesterday. He spoke in front of five or six people and the smattering of applause as he's walking across this bridge. Open your eyes. Open your eyes and look at the way the campaign unfolded just last year. It was the same thing. And yet people are telling Donald Trump, look, just move on. Forget about the past. Even Rupert Murdoch, even the owner of Fox News, says here, the current American political debate is profound, whether about education or welfare or economic opportunity, said Murdoch. He told this to the shareholders of News Corp. It says, it is crucial that conservatives play an active, forceful role in that debate. But that will not happen, says Murdoch, if President Trump stays focused on the past. Here's Rupert Murdoch lecturing Donald Trump. He was just on with Mike Lindell, as I played for you yesterday. And both of them talking about the past, not centuries ago, but just last year, what happened 12 months ago. Murdoch says he's got to focus on the future. The past is the past. And the country is now in a contest to define the future. So forget about the past. Just let the path of destruction get bigger and wider and longer. Let it continue. All of these destructive policies, the skyrocketing inflation, and then the talking heads, they'll provide cover. They'll tell you it's actually a good thing. Or we can afford skyrocketing costs, say the millionaires. Fox was in on the steal. Let's be honest. The decision desk. Remember those guys? Calling Arizona when it was just a neck and neck race and still millions of votes to be counted, or at least hundreds of thousands. I forget the exact numbers. But Fox called it. Fox called it when CNN and the others wouldn't. And now here comes Rupert Murdoch. Just like Raffensperger, just like so many of these other Republicans. Hey, forget about the past. Oh, by the way, we're going to have a lot of new rules in place to ensure that there's election integrity next time. They give the game away by their actions, by the other things they're doing. But here we're all supposed to play along with the big lie. The big lie that Joe Biden somehow managed to get 81 million votes. 81 million. This shows you what happens, this mayoral race, when they're not banking on the steal. They probably just took it for granted that this Democrat would win in a dark blue city. He lost. He lost in an area that supposedly went for Biden by 40 points. People are waking up to what's happening in this country, but if they have an opportunity to steal races next year, they will do it. They will do it. It doesn't matter how low the approval rating goes. They still will steal it and then tell you straight to your face that it was perfect and we're the most popular party in history. Our policies are overwhelmingly popular. That's what Biden said recently. This is from The Hill. Qatar, it says, will formally represent U.S. interests in Afghanistan, according to a new agreement signed by the two countries last week. So we've got Qatar negotiating for us, the United States of America, in Afghanistan, the nation we just handed over to terrorists. We just created another terrorist state. And now we're hoping Qatar can somehow help us out a little bit. Can you believe this? How much damage is done in just 9-10 months' time? And Rupert Murdoch says, hey, let's just go forward. We're in pretty good shape. We got to think about the future. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and Qatari Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs signed an agreement effective next month to make Qatar's embassy in Kabul a protecting power for the U.S. We had to cut and run. We abandoned, some say, thousands of Americans. This is according to the State Department from Foreign Policy. State Department, thousands of U.S. residents still stuck in Afghanistan. Still! Not a couple hundred. The State Department says thousands. I mean, we brought tens of thousands over to the United States from Afghanistan through all those airlifts. Were any of them Americans? I guess not. I guess we left the Americans behind. The Washington Free Beacon, you might have missed this in the news last week. It says the State Department's working to secure the release of several kidnapped hostages taken by Iran-backed terrorists just a day after a militant group stormed the U.S. Embassy's the U.S. Embassy facility in Yemen. Did you hear about this? Probably not. We have heard about a cartoon that some representative sent out. He had to be censored. In the House. They spent a lot of time yesterday debating this back and forth. It's like a circus, like a clown show, basically. And what about this? What about Yemen? What about Afghanistan? It says here, U.S. officials told the Free Beacon, a group of Houthi rebels reportedly stormed the U.S. compound on Wednesday, this is last week, seeking large quantities of equipment and materials, according to regional reports translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute. So, ho-hum, another humiliating defeat for the United States of America. But maybe Qatar can negotiate some kind of a peaceful outcome to this. Maybe Qatar can get us those Americans out of Afghanistan. 36%. I venture to say it can go lower, his approval rating. What a disaster. But let's not look back at what happened last year. The country realizes that this is an illegitimate administration, and they're realizing it more every day. And yet the powerful people in the propaganda media, they're saying, oh, look, we just have to move forward. We just have to just forget about the steal. I mean, this is one of the greatest crimes in the history of the United States, what the communists pulled off just a year ago. And even Rupert Murdoch, well, you can see why. You can see why the commentators at Fox News don't go there. Or if they do, they just kind of touch around the edges of it. That's about it. You can get pretty hard-hitting with some of the commentary at Fox, but don't dare talk about an election steal. Because if you do, you're living in the past, and we've got to be concerned about the future. Well, the Democrats, I've played montages for you before. Well, they still think that George W. Bush stole the election 21 years ago. Stacey Abrams, she's convinced it was stolen in 2018. All of those Democrats are convinced that the Russians are the ones that gave the 2016 election to Donald Trump. So are they living in the past? No, the Democrats now, I mean, they can go in either direction, and they do it with a kind of red-hot zeal. They go for the kill. They destroy. That's been their track record. And unless you stand up to it, unless you fight against it, you'll just get steamrolled. We've covered in recent weeks this communist attack on parents, on family. We've got an article going by that title in the next Trumpet magazine, just about to put the finishing touches on that particular edition this week. But as we point out in that article, going back to the days of Herbert Armstrong's ministry, going back to the 1950s and 60s, we were talking about the breakdown of the family and how that breakdown is going to lead to our entire society breaking down, this culture war, as some have called it. It's really a full-on cultural Marxist revolution. And you see a pretty vivid example of it in the battle that goes on at some of these school board meetings. But step away from that and look at the craziness, the anti-God nonsense that passes for education today. Gender's fluid, personal responsibility. Well, that's evil. You don't want to take personal responsibility and be a responsible citizen. Socialism is the way to go. The police, they're racist. Even studies like mathematics, that's racist. America, of course, is racist. America's history, that's racist. Rebellion and rioting, that's good. As long as it's coming from the communist left, that's good. That's a really good thing. Threatening. Now, parents can't say anything that could be construed as a threat to a school board member or a teacher. But you can sure threaten jury members. You can threaten judges. Where is the DOJ, by the way? They're concerned about threats coming upon superintendents and teachers at schools. But what about the threats that are happening in Kenosha right now? You would think the Department of Justice would be a little bit concerned about that. But no, they're concerned instead about going after the family. There's a spirit behind it, as we well know. Look at just to go back over the timeline of what's happened in school boards, it kind of came to a head in that Virginia election when Youngkin just kept hammering away. No, we want to bring parents in and get them more involved. McAuliffe, he wanted to boot the parents out. Back in mid-September, the Biden White House, and this would be Barack Obama, really. It's Obama people, through and through. But the White House colluded with the National School Board Association, the NSBA. The two worked together to produce this letter that was going to then be sent to the Department of Justice saying, hey, we're coming under threat from these parents, these dangerous parents. And the Department of Justice needs to spring into action. And it certainly did. Now, when they were colluding, the White House and the NSBA, back in mid-September, the White House lied all along the way until it was fully revealed. They lied and said, well, we didn't have anything to do with that. These people just came forward. The NSBA, all of these school boards, they came forward with that letter. Biden and his people, hey, we're not meddling in any of the Department of Justice's cases. In fact, they were. This is from the letter that the NSBA sent to the DOJ. This is what Obama's people orchestrated. The letter says this: as these acts of malice, violence, and threats against public school officials have increased, the classification of these heinous actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. Talks about how that they needed the Department of Justice, the FBI, involved in these school board meetings. Further on, it says, additionally, NSBA requests that such a review examine appropriate enforceable actions against these crimes and acts of violence under the Gun-Free School Zone Act, the Patriot Act in regards to domestic terrorism, the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Prevention Act,
And then finally it says, as the threats grow and news of extremist hate organizations showing up at school board meetings is being reported, this is a critical time for a proactive approach to deal with this difficult issue. The DOJ needs to, they need to take a proactive approach here. And they did. This is a report we played for you a couple weeks ago from James Rosen, clip 6.
Newly disclosed emails show the Biden White House collaborated with an outside interest group, the National School Boards Association, helping its members craft a letter to President Biden that became the basis 5 days later for a memo by Attorney General Merrick Garland issuing orders to the FBI.
Who gave you the letter?
I'm sorry?
How'd you become aware of the letter? Who gave it to you?
I read about the letter in the news. That's how I read about it.
But the White House told you to write the memo.
No one in the White House spoke to me about the memo at all.
Let's go.
I'm asking you to walk outside, sir.
With school boards embroiled in heated disputes over critical race theory, non-binary accommodations for sports programs, and other flashpoints, the association urged the president in a September 29 letter to consider using the Patriot Act to convict domestic terrorists. 5 days later, citing what he called a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school board members, Garland ordered the FBI to meet with local officials in each of the country's 94 federal districts.
So that was from late October, that report from James Rosen. And he talks about the timeline there, the letter that Obama and the association put to the DOJ, September 29th. And then over the weekend, it came over a weekend, out comes Merrick Garland's memo where he says, in recent months, there has been a spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff who participate in the vital work of running our nation's public schools. It says threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values. What about threats against jury members? Is that illegal? Or threats against judges? Is that illegal? It says those who dedicate their time and energy to ensuring that our children receive a proper education in a safe environment deserve to be able to do their work without fear for their safety. So now Merrick Garland, he's had all of these testimonies throughout the month of October. He went before the House. I'll play you a clip here in a moment. He went before the Senate. And then we were getting more and more revelations of what the DOJ and the FBI were actually doing to monitor these parents. This is from the Wall Street Journal, October 20th. The heads of the FBI's criminal and counterterrorism divisions instructed agents in an October 20. So you have Garland's memo on October 4th. Then you have the internal memo from October 20th that they got instructions, the FBI did, to flag all assessments and investigations into potentially criminal threats, harassment, and intimidation of educators with a threat tag, which the officials said would allow them to evaluate the scope of the problem. Now, we know more about this now because of someone within these agencies that came forward and said, this seems a little bit dangerous. Like they could just start looking into or spying on Americans for really no good reason at all. Here's a memo or a letter that Obama's people put together, the Joe Obama White House, sent it off to Joe Obama's AG, Merrick Garland, and then the internal instructions are, hey, put that threat tag on these parents. They're the enemy, keep in mind. The Journal published a story on November 16th. That's just a few days ago, where it says the FBI tracks threats against teachers and school board members. They track it. You're going into the database. You could be another insurrectionist. So on October 21st, Merrick Garland, as I say, he testifies before the House, and listen to what he said. Again, this is from a few weeks ago, but it's just very revealing when you go right down the timeline. This is clip 5.
Absolutely not, and I want to be clear, the Justice Department supports and defends the First Amendment right of parents to complain as vociferously as they wish about the education of their children, about the curriculum taught in the schools. That is not what the memorandum is about at all, nor does it use the words domestic terrorism or Patriot Act. Like you, I can't imagine any circumstance in which the Patriot Act would be used in the circumstances of parents complaining about their children, nor can I imagine a circumstance where they would be labeled as domestic terrorism.
And then you have this whistleblower coming forward. That was October 21st. The next day after that, by the way, October 22nd, that's when the NSBA came out and apologized for all of that language, domestic terrorists, and used the Patriot Act, this and that. Garland says, well, I didn't use that exact language in my memo, but he doesn't back away from it at all. He thinks the memo's perfect. The memo was generated by the Obama White House. That's what it amounts to. And then it results in this kind of action where you've got the FBI issuing these threat tags on parents, tracking the movements, the actions of parents on social media and the like. The Wall Street Journal, as I say, has exposed some of this just in recent days. It says the heads of the FBI's criminal and counterterrorism divisions instructed agents in an October 20 memo to flag all assessments and investigations into potentially criminal threats with this threat tag, as I read earlier. It says the internal email asks FBI agents to consider the motivations behind any criminal activity and whether it potentially violates federal law. Agents should tag such threats, edu officials, to better track them, according to the memo, which was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. It says, finally, an FBI agent provided a copy of the internal email to several Republican lawmakers, citing concerns that it could open the door for the Bureau to collect information on parents voicing their opposition to local school policies during meetings. This is the way Joe Obama uses these powerful government agencies, this administrative state, the deep state. It's totally weaponized. And this started years ago with the first and second terms of Obama. We're in the third term now, but even in that little brief interim that we had, look at how Obama used these agencies to attack endlessly Donald Trump and anyone associated with him. It went on all through the Trump years. Listen to Matt Gaetz, the representative from Florida, yesterday, clip one.
To label parents domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and caring about their kids is abhorrent, unpatriotic, and un-American. But to lie about doing so is even worse, because there were threat labels that were being put on folks who loved their kids and who showed up. So here's my question. How many? How many Americans right now that went to a school board meeting, that emailed a parent, that confronted a principal, that reached out to their school board members, that ran into a superintendent at the supermarket and expressed their view? How many of those Americans right now are carrying a threat label with them? What's next? Can't fly on airplanes? Can't access the U.S. financial system? Get doxxed at their job? Get deplatformed online? The Department of Justice has been politicized, weaponized, and turned against our fellow Americans.
That's Joe Obama taking the Department of Justice, the FBI. Look at what Comey was getting away with for all the years he was in there. They've used it as a weapon against Americans. They've used the Patriot Act as a weapon against Americans. That's what Obama was telling the DOJ to do when his people crafted that letter back at the end of September. These parents are domestic terrorists. That's why the FBI a few weeks later said, you put a threat label on them. And as Matt Gaetz says there, how many of them have this? How many have the threat label attached to their name in those internal files for the FBI and DOJ just because they showed up at a school board meeting? This is some pretty frightening stuff. The evil
in this communist revolution. What they're getting away with on a daily basis. As I've called it before, it's not the Department of Justice, it's the Department of Injustice. Yesterday you had the Viking hat guy sentenced to 3.5 years in jail. What, for waltzing into the House chamber and saying, "Hey, dude," and then saying a prayer, and then that's it? He's already been in solitary confinement for over 300 days. He made the mistake of walking inside the Capitol after being invited in, as so many of them were. And now he's going to be in jail for years. For years. I told you yesterday about the guy who likes going around bashing in the heads of police officers. He spends one night in jail. He's released the next day. I guess in that case, hey, we got to be lenient. We don't want to be too hard on these criminals. After all, I mean, we've got to save space in the prisons for Trump supporters and parents. We've got to get rid of those domestic terrorists. This is Genesis 6. This is exactly what Jesus prophesied of. They target those that you hear January 6th, it's every other sentence with these people, these propagandists in the media. All the other riots are justified, even if it brings down an entire city. And then the media, they're covering it up, lying all along the way. I saw a New York Post article just before I came to air. The 10 lies that the media have been telling you about Kyle Rittenhouse in that trial. Just 10 bold, audacious lies that they could find the truth out about if they just did an ounce, a little tiny ounce of scratching beneath the surface. Just a little bit of digging. They won't do it. They still lie. They still lie about January 6th, and they still lie about November 3rd. They just tell the lie over and over and over again, and we're supposed to go right along with it. We're supposed to play along. And then we're supposed to be outraged when a representative sends out a cartoon. That's the real danger. That's what we've got to take up the entire afternoon with, said House members yesterday. Listen to Matt Gaetz again from yesterday, clip 2.
I am no expert on Japanese anime, but I am told, and I do believe, that it is not real. And what is definitely real is the violence that burned our cities and harmed our businesses in the summer of 2020, often encouraged by Democrats in Congress.
That's right. Maxine Waters, she went to Minneapolis to encourage the riot that brought down that city. They incite it. They foment that kind of violence. And then the threats, as I say. Where's the DOJ when you have actual threats to hurt people? We don't really know of any coming from parents, do we? Have you heard one? Have you seen one? Have you even seen any unruly behavior in those board meetings except coming from someone that's upset and the police are dragging them out? Because from what I see, the board members, the superintendents, you know, they're a little ways back behind these big desks and so on. A lot of times they're shutting down the mics. They just cut them off. When have you seen a parent threaten one of those board members or attack one of those board members? You had a Rittenhouse supporter just last night get attacked. Right out in the light of day. Right outside the courthouse. And what's going to happen if there's an acquittal? Or if there's some kind, if the jury is so frightened that they try to appease the mob, is that going to solve the problem? Is that going to make things better? Listen to this. I'm not familiar with this representative, but here's what he had to say yesterday. Representative Clay Higgins, clip 3.
America is being crushed under the oppressive weight of the Democrats' greed for lust and power. They want totalitarian control over every aspect of American life, and they're ruling the people's house as if they were royalty. America is dissolving under our feet, and Democrats are worried about cartoons.
America's dissolving under our feet. It's a pretty good speech there from that representative. I think he comes from Louisiana. But he's right. He's right. We're losing our nation. And no politician's going to bring it back to what it once was. The family breakdown is near total and complete. There's a few parents that are waking up to the fact that, wow, this is a Marxist revolution here. There really is an attack on family. But it's too little too late, isn't it? It's the family breakdown. That's why you see violence in streets. Isaiah 59 and verse 4, it says, "None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and they speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." See, right at the core of this communist infiltration, right at the core of this communist revolution, is just rank lawlessness. Lawlessness. And you see it on the streets, and you see it inside courtrooms. And you see it in the media. All of these lies, 10 of them. Here's the 10 biggest that we've debunked at the New York Post. 10 lies? Why would the media tell so many lies? Why would they say, oh, cross border? How many times have you heard cross the border? When have you heard communists so concerned about borders? He lived a little bit on the other side in Illinois, and he worked in Kenosha, but he illegally got the firearm. Not true. Cross borders, not true. Gun was with his mom. Mom drove all these things. Not true. And they still, even after 15 months, they still tell the lies. Rank lawlessness. And what we're seeing, all of this rank lawlessness, what we're experiencing, is the result of something that's happened long ago, really, with the breakdown of the family, marriage, family. And furthermore, it was prophesied in your Bible, prophesied in places like Isaiah 59, as I just read, prophesied in Romans 1, prophesied in 2 Timothy 3. Notice these verses. This is Romans 1, verse 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." It says here, "without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection." You see any of that in the world today? Not even a natural affection, what should be natural. "Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." We just follow along. Follow a multitude to do evil. Exodus 23:2. Just follow the crowd. Just applaud the violent activity, the lawlessness, the rank lawlessness. Just encourage it even. Encourage them to destroy the nation. Encourage them to rise up and to commit acts of violence. This is all because Satan is cast down to this earth, as I've covered so many times on this program. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world. You see his fingerprints on everything. People out in the streets calling for bloodshed. Just last week in New York City,
He gets away. DOJ's not concerned about that. No. Not at all. It's Viking hat. We got to get him. We got to get parents. There's a war against parents. Satan's going in for the kill shot. He knows the family breakdown is almost completely, it's almost completely at its worst. It's a total breakdown. But he's never satisfied. If he's got an opportunity to further divide what few parents are left that actually are paying any attention to their children and their education, if he can divide them, then it's just going to make things that much worse. The communists, see, they want control of the educational process. They want control of the children. And they're getting it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, it says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It just gets worse and worse. This mass breakdown of family life, it's not an accident. It's been under attack for generations now. And only here, right at the very last, final, silly stages of it, as I've said before, are people waking to the fact that, wow, they really are attacking the family. They're coming after my family. They're coming after my children. The solution, of course, to all of this madness is the God family. You can see why the institution of marriage and family is coming under attack from the devil, who's been cast down to this earth. He's confined to this earth. The devil hates family. He knows he's not going to have any part in God's family. He can't have a family himself. So he attacks it. He knows this gets to the heart and core of God's purpose and plan. And yet you hear nothing about it, the God family vision. You hear nothing about it even in the world of traditional Christianity. You hear nothing about God's coming kingdom, as I've covered earlier this week. Yesterday I gave you this quote from The Incredible Human Potential. He says here, Mr. Armstrong does, "Remember this, the true gospel message, had humanity heeded it, would have saved this world nearly all its anguish, troubles, sufferings, and evils. If we would have heeded the gospel that Jesus preached." And what is the gospel? The gospel that Jesus taught? It's the good news. That's what the word gospel means. It's the good news of the coming kingdom of God, which is the family of God administering the government of God. The whole world, think about how it would have benefited from that message had it received that message, had it heeded that message. Think about how much anguish and trouble and suffering it would have saved us from. Mr. Armstrong says here, "It's impossible for me, in a few words, to make it clear enough with sufficient emphasis to cause the reader to comprehend the supreme, tremendous meaning and importance of that true gospel message." He really did stretch and strain in his thinking to try to wrap his mind around the totality of this subject, the true gospel. It says here, "And even today, when heard, it is seldom really understood in all of its colossal significance, because Satan has thrown up such a smokescreen of false and counterfeit religions, gospels, and teachings that the hearer or reader is left confused in doubt and unbelief, or in a state of indifference to the most important things in life." That's what you see today. You see the book there on your screen, Incredible Human Potential. Call our operators and request it. 1-866-930-3024. It's a powerful book, a wonderful vision, an incredible vision, the incredible human potential to be born into the family of God. How could you be indifferent about that subject? How could you be indifferent about 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2? that when Jesus returns, we're going to see him as he is. We're going to be just like him. Satan hates that message. He hates that truth. He hates that incredible potential. He wants to blot it out. He wants to blot out even our very nations in the physical sense. He wants to blot out the name of Israel, everything. He just wants to blot you out. But ultimately, he wants to blot out the family of God. He hates the family of God. He's always on the attack. He's always attacking family. The true gospel, Mr. Armstrong writes, when viewed with all that it embodies, the reason for it, the prehistoric truth of Earth's first inhabitants, the reason humans were created and put on Earth, the cause of all the Earth's evils and sufferings, the nature of the human mind, the need for spiritual salvation and what it is, the coming world tomorrow of peace, what lies on beyond, and man's ultimate incredible potential. It becomes the most all-encompassing subject that can enter the mind of man. Beside it, that is the true gospel, everything else shrinks to total unimportance. It's greater than any story of man ever written before. It's greater than any story of man ever written. And yet how many people today are even interested enough to look into it or to even request this book that we make available to you for no cost or obligation at all? The incredible human potential. This is what Herbert Armstrong spent his life studying, the true gospel. And you can see even from this quote that I just gave to you how challenging it was for him to really see and understand the totality of this vision, of this message, this truth, this calling. Notice this quote. It says, "I must call the reader's attention again at this point to the fact that a full and complete understanding of the message sent by God to all mankind by his divine messenger, Jesus Christ, involves a vast comprehension of God's great purpose and of events, prehistoric, historic, present, and future." He says, "I might say it means an overall understanding of everything." Well, that's a tall order there, to try to understand everything. You get the foundation, though. You get the foundation that is God's Word, the Holy Bible, and you have the ability, really, to understand everything that you need to know. You know about the history leading up to the creation of man. You know about the angelic rebellion. You know about the real spirit world. You know why God brought us into existence in Genesis 1. You know why this world is full of evil. It's because of what's recorded there in Genesis 3, verses 22 to 24. Man's cut off from God for 6,000 years. But there is a wonderful world tomorrow coming. There is a seventh-day millennium. Hebrews 4 speaks of it, all of these prophecies in the Old Testament. Isaiah 35. And there's even a lot in the Bible, in Isaiah, in Revelation, about eternity that goes on even beyond the world tomorrow and the great white throne judgment period. You read the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, and you see how that these great patriarchs of old, how that they viewed themselves, as I covered recently, as sojourners. They were just temporarily passing through. They understood about why human life is temporary, and they had their sights set on New Jerusalem, that spiritual city that descends from heaven above. This really is incredible, isn't it? This calling that we have, this understanding that we have. I've been really emphasizing with our students here at God's College just how unique and special that they are, how unique and special they are because of what they're just able to understand and know. Look at how many people in this world are just living in ignorance. Now their minds are about to be open to the truth. Thank God for that. They don't know any better. They don't know what they don't know. But you would think there'd be a few more. Just a little bit curious. Or in looking at the world, as we talk about on this program often, a few more that are maybe a little more disturbed by what's happening around them. How many people do you hear on talk radio these days calling in saying we're losing our country? Well, Donald Trump makes that point quite often, but he's to be ignored. Even Republicans, so many of them, they say, we just need to get rid of Donald Trump. We need to get back to the old ways of the grand old party. We need to stop thinking about 2020 and thinking about 2022 or 2024. You look at the way the communist radical left has operated since the early years of the first term of Obama's presidency and what they used the deep administrative state for throughout the Trump years and what they've done with it now. The destruction, the attacks on parents, on political opponents. A political prisoner. That's what the Viking hat guy is. Steve Bannon going after him. Totally, just a political hit job through and through. It's just like Matt Gaetz said yesterday. It's all been weaponized. This is in the United States of America. We're in a young country. We like to think that our government, the way the founders, the way they set it up, what a perfect system. To have all these checks and balances in place so that you could prevent tyrants from ruling. And yet here we are, 250 years in, and just as the founders told us, look, this system that we're setting up, it may be the best of the rest, but if you don't have religion and morality, everything breaks down. Well, they were right. Herbert Armstrong came along sometime later and put the spiritual dimension in that message, saying that there a total breakdown of the family, it's a greater threat to this nation and to this world than the hydrogen bomb. He was right. He was right about that. Our hope is in the God family. Our hope is in the establishment of God's soon coming kingdom. Our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Our hope is in the true gospel message that Jesus proclaimed. This is from IHP again. Once understood, it will seem that the supposedly stupendous fund of knowledge disseminated in the great universities is in fact infantile. Once you understand the true gospel, everything, like he said in that previous quote, everything shrinks. Everything else shrinks to total unimportance. It says here, it will seem as if man knows now almost nothing, for the missing dimension in knowledge is the all-important knowledge. See, the more you delve into this subject, the more you'll realize just how wholly inadequate education, religion is today. They don't teach the truth of the Bible. They don't talk about the incredible human potential. It's an all-encompassing message. It really is. It really is about coming to an understanding of everything, as Mr. Armstrong said. What a wonderful study it is, if you're curious enough to delve into it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us for today's show. You can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you again for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.